अथवा कुंज बिहारि जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारि माधव कुंज बिहार जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहार जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय माधव कुंज बिहार जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे
हरे श्री नाम संकीर्तन की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् नम चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च देवकीनन्दनाय नंद गोपा कुमाराय नंद गोपा कुमार गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 2 वर्स 5 सिद्धा चरणा गंधर्वैर विद्याधर महोरगैः किन्नरैर अप्सरोभिः च क्रीडाभिर् जुष्ट कंधरः सिद्धचारण गंधर्वैर विद्याधर महोरगैः किन्नरैर अप्सरोभिश्च क्रीडाद्वीर जुष्टकंदरः सिद्धचारण गंधर्वैर विद्याधर्म होरगैः किन्नरैर अप्सरोभिश्च क्रीडाद्विभिर् जुष्टकंदरः सिद्धचारण गंधर्वैर विद्याधर्महोरगैः किन्नरैरप्सरोभिश्च क्रीडाद्भिर्जुष्टकिन्दरः सिद्धचारणगन्धर्वैर् विद्याधर्महोरगैः किन्नरैरप्सरोभिश्च क्रीडाद्भिर्जुष्टकन्दरः सिद्धचारणगन्धर्वैर् विद्याधर्महोरगैः किन्नरैरप्सरोभिश्च क्रीडाद्भिर्जुष्टकन्दरः सिद्धचारण गंधर्वैर विद्याधर्महोरगैः किन्नरैरप्सरोभिश्च क्रीडाद्भिर्जुष्टकन्दरः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की च। ट्रांसलेशन: The inhabitants of the higher planets, the Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Serpents, Kinnaras and Apsaras go to the mountain to sport. Thus all the caves of the mountain are full of the denizens of the heavenly planets. Purport. As ordinary man may play in the salty ocean, the inhabitants of the higher planetary system go to the ocean of milk. They float in the ocean of milk and also enjoy various sports within the caves of Trikuta mountain. We'll read text 6 also. Yatra sangita sannadairna dadguha mama marshaya abhigarjahinti harayaha glaghina parashankayaha. Translation: Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. In the higher planetary systems, there are not only different types of human beings, but also animals like lions and elephants. There are trees, and the land is made of emeralds. Such is the creation of personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in this regard, Keshava tuva jagata vichitra. My Lord Keshava, your creation is colorful and full of varieties. geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists speculate about other planetary systems, but being unable to estimate the varieties on other planets, they falsely imagine that all planets but this one are vacant, uninhabited, and full of dust. Although they cannot even estimate the varieties existing throughout the universe, they are very proud of their knowledge, and they are accepted as learned by persons of similar caliber. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.19, Savai Varaho Strakharai Samstuta Purushah Pashuhu. Materialistic leaders are praised by dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, and they themselves are also being animals. One should not be satisfied with the knowledge imparted by a big animal. Rather, one must take knowledge from perfect person like Shukadeva Goswami. Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. Our duty is to follow the instructions of the Mahajanas. There are 12 Mahajanas and Shukadeva Goswami is one of them. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumaro Kapilo Manuho Prahlado Janako Vyaso Balir Vayasaki Vayam Bhagavatam 6.3.20. Vayasaki is Shukadeva Goswami. Whatever he says, we consider to be factual. That is perfect knowledge. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितांस्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं I seek blessings of our senior devotees and their permission try to speak something for my purification and glorification of Lord. So as you know that we are in 8th canto, so here Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami about different dynasties in Manu, and then in relationship with that Shukadeva Goswami is explaining different kings and their sons like Manus, and then the personality of Godhead who descended in that. So in this particular story he is going to mention about Lord Hari, who came in one of this and then he, in that regard, he describes the pastime of, you know, Gajendra. So here the we'll see in this, like, today's two verses, we'll see in 5 points. First we'll see how Shukadeva Goswami is describing about Trikuta mountain, you know, the beauty of Trikuta mountain and how, you know, denizens are enjoying there. Then we'll see that how the material enjoyment is futile, though we enjoy here or in heavens. Then we'll see how the human life, what we have got, is the best to perfect. And then we'll see how to perfect our human form of life, and then how to share it with others. So these all points are covered by Prabhupada actually in different sections of this purport. So initially in the 5th verse, which is on board, here it is explained that how Siddha, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, serpents, Kinnaras and Apsaras, they all enjoy in the mountains. So if you see in this chapter, there is a detailed description of this Trikuta mountain is given, wherein there are, you know, beautiful lakes, and there are ocean, not of salty water but of milk, and then there are, you know, rivers of, you know, fruit juices, you know, and then amazing you know, resorts, naturally resorts, you know, not man-made. So naturally, you know, we feel we are living in a small house or, you know, some place. We naturally feel that such places are, you know, good to be, right? Especially the description they have given. So there can be two thoughts. First thought can be that, how is it possible? Is it a myth? So we'll see that first. And then the second thought could be that, okay, if it is there, then how can I enjoy? The two thoughts generally come, right, whenever we hear something extraordinary, right? So actually, this is not myth, first of all. This is all factual places. So there are this universe is multidimensional. And then each personality, each living entity works in a particular dimension. Like a bacteria, some of the bacteria, they are like zero dimension. That means if they are stuck at some point, that is like, you know, that's the start of their life and that's the end of their life until somebody moves them. You know? So they are like zero dimensional. For them, nothing exists actually. Only, you know, that place in which they are existing. Then there are one-dimensional animals who just know only one dimension, like, you know, ants, you see that they just go straight. So even if, like, you know, something is, say, here, so I don't know how many of you have observed ants, but they just follow one path. They are like, you know, they cannot see what is up or, like, you know, in two-dimensional, just one-dimensional. Then there are some creatures who are two-dimensional, only two-dimensional, length and breadth. You know? And then we come, humans, you know, we are three-dimensionals. We have length, height, you know, breadth, like X, Y, Z axis, you know, that in terms of mathematics. So we know only till three-dimensional, but Shastras explain that there are multiple dimensionals, or four-dimensional, five-dimensional, and depending on the individual capacity, he is able to pursue that. So it is said that in fifth canto, like, you know, Meru mountain is there, which is made of gold, and which passes somewhere, you know, close to, you know, India, some point. And that is, you know, 800, like, it's very high, basically. And nobody sees it, you know. So why? Because actually, our vision is limited only to three-dimensional. So even if few things which are around us, we cannot pursue. For example, suppose ant is there, and that ant goes, you know, at the bottom of Sears Towers. So if we go and whisper in the ant's, you know, ears, there is a building which is 103 story, you know, high. What ant will say? Doesn't exist. Because for ant, it is just straight. Whatever she is seeing in front of her eyes, that's what she sees, because that's her limitation. She just sees in one dimension. So now same way, for us humans who are, like, you know, scientifically inclined, we tell there is a Meru mountain, scriptures describe. What they say? Doesn't exist. Why? Just because they cannot pursue. But we cannot see even our own eyelid. Unless we see in mirror, we cannot see our own eyelid. So our seeing capacity is so limited. So why to give so much emphasis on seeing? So therefore, like, you know, Bhagavad Gita describes that the best way to get knowledge is Shabda Praman, through hearing. And the Prabhupada used to quote this example that, you know, for a mother to know who is his for a child to know who is his father, the best way to know is just ask mother. Mother tells, okay, this person is father. Nobody can deny that authority, right? So same way, scriptures tells us about this. So we have to put faith on our ears. Like, of course, we have to hear from authorized sources. And then the knowledge comes, and that is perfect. So though it is beyond our ability to pursue immediately, we can still, you know, gain access to that knowledge. So, okay, now, so such place exists. It's very beautiful. So then why not to go there, right? The next question. So the problem is that now you come, like, as we go along in this chapter, we see that the Gajendra, you know, the king of elephant, he comes to enjoy there, right? And then he has many wives and many kids, and he has, you know, a nice time, you know, playing around. But what happens? Crocodile comes. So what it says is actually that this, any place in material, abrahma bhuvana and lokat punaravrito juna mamupetyutta punarjamma dukkhalayama shashvatam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that from topmost planet Brahmaloka till lowest planet Patal, all the places there are places of misery. So it is stamped. So like we have say iPhone, so it says it has 64 gig capacity. So you cannot add 64.1 bit because the manufacturer has designed it in a way that it can hold only certain amount of thing. So manufacturer knows what the product is capable of doing, right? So like there is a washing machine, it says okay, it runs on this much volt, it can take this much load, it can move in these many speeds, right? But if we try to do something more, it will break surely. So same way Lord has created this material world. What he says, he has stamped it. It has two properties, Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. It is full of misery and it is temporary. So even if we go to heavenly planets, what's going to happen? We'll enjoy there, and then after some days, again, when our pious credit quota of our bank balance of pious credit is over, we have to come back here. So we see that though this these beautiful places are there in this world, Shastras also, like especially Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes the futility that one cannot be happy in those places permanently. But at the end of the day, whatever we are doing ultimately is boiled down, whether it gives me happiness or not, right? So therefore, trying to think that okay, let me go there and I'll enjoy, it's not so good option because you have to come, and the problem there is that you have to again come once your karmas are exhausted. At the same time, the enjoyment is so much that it's very difficult to make a spiritual progress in that particular situation. So say even for example, somebody is born in a very rich family, for him, if we tell that there is so much problem in the world, this, that, he said, oh, for me it doesn't exist, whatever I feel, it goes. So you just extrapolate it to your imagination, that's the heavenly planet. So there is no, in heavenly planet there is not even old age. What they have is they have a nice flower garland, and then as and when they are passing their years, one of like the flowers in their garland, they go they become like kind of old, they're not fresh, and the day the all garland becomes the flowers become the day you come back to material world. So it's like so sudden. So it's you just imagine, it's so miserable. You are enjoying and suddenly you are gone, you're dead, you're come back to material world. But human birth is such a special that we get indication from nature. Like when the old age starts, teeth starts falling, the knee starts paining, hair starts going white, and then we cannot see much, we cannot hear, we don't have physical capacity. We used to run so fast in our childhood, we cannot now even walk faster. So that means nature gives an indication, time to wind up, it gives first bell, second bell, third bell. So you just imagine, you are in pink of your youth, and then suddenly we are sitting one day and eating nice pizza and you are done, dead, it's so it's not so perfect, right? Because there is no indication. You may say, oh, what nature, at least you should give me some indication. I'll take to spiritual life, I'm so youth, my body is fine. So the human life's beauty is that yes, it gives indication. So in young age we are hell and healthy, but after that it start falling. So what it says, take to Krishna consciousness seriously. Nature gives that indication. So such an perfect opportunity in this human body, because we have perfect circumstances, we have understanding of Krishna has given scriptures, there are Guru Parampara systems to give the knowledge, and we get indications from nature also. Like say, okay, somebody wants to earn, okay, until 40, 50, whatever your requirements are there, but again nature starts giving indication, enough now, retire, focus on spiritual life. So therefore human life is very special, and that too born in Kali Yuga is much more special. Why? Because we don't have to do 60,000 years of meditation, we don't have to sit erect and then put ghee in the fire or big temples and do worship. We have to just chant, and that too have come in such a perfect place. like you know, Krishna has appeared in the material world after immediately that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, and it's not that like you know, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, after 200-300 years, there was you know a kind of a slowdown in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There were so many apasampradayas. We just came right after when Prabhupada came. He put you know his midnight hours to write books in English language, which anybody can understand. And books are there. It's all printed, and we have you know copies ready made. And devotees are there. Temples are there all over world. And we are born. We are here currently at this space. What more we need? Practice and perfect our life. This is the best possible situation Krishna has arranged. So we have to take benefit. So as we discussed, so we saw how these places are factual, but how the enjoyment in these places is temporary. There is still problem. So therefore, human life is very special, and especially born in Kali Yuga just after you know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just after Prabhupada. So it's very special. And like a few days before, there was appearance day of Srinivas Acharya. You know, this devotee, he wanted to read Bhagavatam, so he went to like you know Gadadhar Pandit to read Bhagavatam in Jagannathpuri. He all the way walked from Mayapur to Jagannathpuri, and then the Bhagavatam copy which Gadadhar Pandit had used, it was like you know so much like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to read with him, there used to be tears always of, you know, ecstasy. So all the letters had been washed, and those days it was handwritten. So he said, go back, get a Bhagavatam written and come back. So he again, you know, walked back to Mayapur, you know, requested some devotee to write it. It took some 6 months. They wrote it down. He got that copy to Gadadhar Pandit. By that time, you know, he had left his world. So again, like the story continues. So the point is, just to get a Bhagavatam, they had to struggle so much. Now we have to just, you know, call BBT or go to our temple. Madhumangalpur sits, you know, on Sunday feast. You know, there is, you know, he is ready to come to your house, give to Bhagavatam. You know, it's so easy. So this is the perfect time, perfect opportunity for us to perfect our life. Then in this purport, later Prabhupada says that how, but the problem in this world currently is that the propaganda done by some big, okay, before going to that, Prabhupada gives one more analogy about this. He says that when we think that these places are not factual, like the description what is given of the heavenly planet, he says that that is called as, you know, Kupa Manduka Nyaya. So, Kupa in Sanskrit means well, Manduka means frog, Nyaya means logic. So, Kupa Manduka Nyaya means logic of a frog in a well. So, if some, you know, some aquatic animal comes from an ocean and he says to this, you know, they are talking, they had chit chat, you know. So they say that, okay, I am from, where are you from? I am from, well, where are you from? I am from ocean, okay. How big is your ocean? You know? He said, very big. He said, you know, is this big, is this big? And he just keeps starting, you know, 10 times of, well, 20. No, the frog just cannot imagine how big is the ocean, right? So, same way, we have so tiny resources and the mentality also of like, you know, atheistic people, that they just cannot, they are so much into their well of, you know, this world, they just say that, you know, life doesn't exist anywhere in the planet. On moon we went, there was dust. On Mars we went, there was whatever, wherever we went, there was just dust. That's what, you know, they say. So that is called as, you know, Prabhupada says is as, you know, frog logic, you know. So that means I cannot pursue, that means it doesn't exist, as was discussed. So that was the point. Yeah. So we go ahead. So we saw that how these places are factual, how, but the problem with these places is the enjoyment is not permanent. Then we saw that how human life is very special and we are at the right time to practice. But then what are the challenges? In this age, the propaganda is, you know, enjoy. And then, who are the people who do this? Prabhupada, you know, quotes from Bhagavatam that the materialistic leaders are praised by dogs, hawks, camels and asses. And they themselves are also big animals. So that means here, whoever has a big voice and big facility to propagate something, he is considered as a leader. And naturally, the common mass, they just follow blindly. So, if somebody has a money, somebody has fame, and if he says, okay, you know, drinking is good, 100 people will follow, they will say drinking is good. Why? Because this guy is said, and he is drinking, that's why he is successful, that's why they are like, you know, they think that, because they are like, you know, the intelligence is just, you know, not active, right? So it is said in this world, the fools are cocksure and the intelligents are doubtful. That means those people who don't have understanding of any, you know, scriptural knowledge, they say that, okay, you know, what I am saying is the best. And then those, you know, first who are trying to practitioner, the propaganda is so much, sometimes we also get a doubt when we are not in association. Hey, you know, what I am doing, is it right? You know? So, therefore, we have to be in actually strong association, keep reading, and then, you know, nourish our intelligence and say no, you know, that like, you know, we can strongly say that, okay, you know, scriptures has some other say. So, then Prabhupada nicely goes on explaining that how to get then this knowledge and perfect about life. So he says that, you know, Mahajano yena gata sambandha. So even when we start practicing devotional service, there can be so many apparent contradictions. If we study Mahabharata, it's full of apparent contradictions. Especially, you know, life of, you know, Bhishma Pitama as a pure devotee. You know, why did he not say anything when the Draupadi was, you know, mistreated? That is the common question of everyone. Why did he fight, you know, from Kaurava's side? You know, it is just so it. So to understand all these things, again, like going back to Bhagavatam, fifth canto, you know, it says, you know, there are rivers of, you know, mango juices, and when the mango juices, it stuck to the sides of the river, it becomes turns into gold. Somebody may say that, you know, are you talking logic? Or are you just, you know, taking us on a, you know, mythical ride? No, actually all these things are there, and it also acts as a... So, to understand this, we have to, you know, approach proper authorities. And then, second thing, they are there to filter out the people who do not have faith on scriptures before going to 10th canto. So 10th canto is like, you know, Krishna's, it's described as, you know, Bhagavatam as, you know, Krishna's transcendental body, then 10th canto is described as, you know, Krishna's transcendental, you know, lotus face. So those people who take Bhagavatam with a doubtful mentality, the Bhagavatam filters them out as and when they, you know, starts reading it. So by the time they come to 5th canto, 6th canto, here, like, you know, you will see that there is ocean of milk. He said, come on, you know. The first question they'll have, you know, if there is an ocean and there is a sunlight, you know, that milk will get, you know, transferred into curd. You know, it will just spoil, right? That's what they'll think. The milk, otherwise, you know, so there's, you know, no shelf life, you know, they'll say. So all these doubtful mentalities, if you don't have faith and if you don't have that proper mindset to approach, those persons, they get filtered out, you know, during this, you know, transcendental filters, you know, going through Bhagavatam. So, of course, it's not that there are no answers. It's just that, like in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Arjuna is like, you know, perfect example of student. He says that, oh Lord, you say that, you know, when Krishna says that there have been many births where you both have been there, I remember all, but, you know, you don't remember. He says, you know, Krishna, you know, we are of same age. So how can I understand that, you know, you took so many births and I took? So that is the perfect way to understand. So what we say is that, okay, we put faith on this. So even if we have some questions when we are reading this, you know, text, so how we have to approach is, okay, we understand this is true, but how am I to understand this? Because as per my knowledge, if I put milk outside for 5 hours, it's going to get, you know, spoiled. So how can milk ocean exist? You know? So that's how we can inquire. And of course, there are answers. Basically, again, like, you know, the conditions of those planets, they are not same as, you know, the earthly planet. So like we have here also in our experience, we have, say, like Michigan, it is a sweet water, like normal water. But same way there is a salty water if we go to ocean. And so there are, like, you know, this Black Sea, Red Sea also, like, you know, sometimes even in the sea there are, like, you know, different sections having different colors. So we see that there is variety even in this planet. So then why not it can be present in different planet? So that way we can understand. So okay, so coming back to the point is that this transcendental literatures, they are state specific. So state specific meaning that the way you approach, you give them, like, you know, we get the knowledge accordingly. For example, if there is a mathematics book and there is that, you know, chapter, you know, additions. So there is number and then, you know, say 2 plus 2 equal to 4. So now if I read it, you read it, you know, or Mataji reads it, anybody reads it, everyone will get the same knowledge. 2 plus 2 equal to 4. Because those books are not state specific. They are just, you know, it has some material knowledge and it's just in there. But Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they are state specific, meaning the way person approaches them, the book reveals them that way. Bhagavad Gita has over 700 editions. If we see the Sanskrit shloka which Krishna has spoken and which Vyasadeva has written in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are the same, not even word changes. 700 people have interpreted it 700 different ways. Why? Somebody says, you know, Krishna is mythical. Somebody says, actually, you know, the five Pandavas, like our five senses and all, you know, kind of explanation. From where they are getting it? Because these transcendental literatures, they are personalities and they reveal themselves the way we approach them. So if we approach them in a submissive way, they'll reveal us the true knowledge for which they are meant for. But if we approach with a doubtful mentality, they'll create more doubts. So if somebody approaches Bhagavatam with a doubtful mentality and then he reads this purport, you know, that, okay, there are like, you know, this floors of emeralds and pearls, it explains, right? Where was that? It says like the milk ocean and then there are the big caves and there are big lions and the like in this only they'll say there are, you know, emeralds, you know, around and all the precious rubies and jewel. So if somebody approaches this with doubt, you'll just close Bhagavatam and say, you know, Hare Krishna, you know, no more reading. Because the way he has approached was wrong, therefore Bhagavatam revealed it in that way. But if somebody submissively approaches it, then he gets the message. And also these there are like, you know, different purposes, of course, there. So when we become like, you know, wish one day we become pure devotee, we are going back home, back to spiritual world in Vaikuntha Airlines. So that time we are taken through all these planets. So we are shown, okay, this is Trikuta Mountain, here where, you know, Gajendra used to play, and, you know, this is Meru Pandar, this is Heaven, Indra's, you know, this assembly where the Apsaras are dancing, and here is, you know, Siddhaloka, all the Siddhas, powerful sages who have all mystic, you know, yogis, they are there. And slowly, you know, Pitrulok, you know, Swarlok, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, you know, and then, you know, Brahmalok, you know, Brahmaji, the creator who has, you know, 3.2, you know, million trillion years of life, you know, just, he's there, you know. And at that point, in this journey, wherever, even if we get a slight desire, oh, wish I could have, you know, stayed here for some, you know, and explored it. Immediately, the Vaikuntha airplane drops us there and it goes back. So it's basically make sure that we don't have, you know, any desire. So that's why we have to, the acharas are so intelligent that they describe this beauty. At the same time, they say that, yes, you know, they were enjoying there, but there was a crocodile. And there was a problem. So the Shastra very keenly describe it that ultimately, you know, like whichever planetary systems we are in this material world, it is a temporary and full of misery, and we should, you know, try going back home, back to spiritual world. And then they tell us how to do that. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We have to accept the verdicts of Mahajan, because many times on practical way we don't have time to, you know, amass all the Vedic knowledge, it's present, and then make it, okay, as per Shastra I should act like this or, you know, whatever, and then, you know, accordingly live. It's very difficult. But Prabhupada, being a great Mahajan, he has designed this whole ISKCON organization, and he has given us the practices in such a practical way that they all follow the rules which are given in all the scriptures. They take us towards the ultimate goal. At the same time, we don't have to dig our head, you know, thinking whether, you know, it is as per scripture or it is not as per scripture, or, you know, what should be done, what should not be done. So it becomes very easy for us. So another thought may come that, so does that mean that I should just accept blindly? No. Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. That if we feel that, you know, some things are not clear, we have all facility to ask and to get clarification. Okay, if this particular practice, you know, somehow I am not, I have doubt about it, you know, so how can I, you know, how am I able to understand this? So we can surely ask. So we have to follow Mahajanas, and then, like, in our practical purposes, we have, you know, senior devotees who are guiding us, we can follow them. But if at any point you feel that, you know, something which is told is not, you know, you are not able to understand, yeah, we can clarify. There is no, it's not an offense or anything. It's a proper way. We can just, you know, clarify that nicely. So we have seen that how these places, how these beautiful places exist, but they are temporary, and then how human life is so special, and we can practice devotional service, and then how to do that is, like, you know, again given here, that following in the footstep of, you know, this Mahajanas. And then what will happen if we do this? We'll go to spiritual world. And what is spiritual world? It is much, much more beautiful than this, you know, Trikuta mountain. Much more beautiful. So it was describing that, you know, what beauty in this world compared to what is in spiritual world, it is just a reflection. Like that famous Bhagavad Gita verse, it says, mango in spiritual world, it just appears, you know, mango in the water, and if we try to get it, we just break our head. So same way, for example, you know, the most beautiful lady in this world, they are generally actresses or, like, you know, whoever, Miss Universe or Miss Earth. So it is described that they are cockroaches in compared to the damsels of this heavenly planet, Apsaras. They are literally cockroaches. One devotee was asking that previous ages, like we hear in Bhagavatam, that when Vishwamitra Muni was, you know, performing tapasya, penances, the Menaka, Urvashi, Indra sent these Apsaras, you know, to distract them. So this, you know, devotee, you know, interestingly, he was asking, why don't Apsaras come nowadays, to charm devotees or, you know, some others who are practicing. So this another devotee, he gave answer. He said that the beauties in this world, who are cockroaches compared to the heavenly planet, they themselves are sufficient to, you know, bewilder you. So Indra doesn't have to do, you know, extra work, you know, to do that. Okay, so the point is that the beauty in the heavenly planets, that is much more larger compared to that what we observe on the earth. Beauty in the Vaikuntha Loka, that is much, much, much more than what is, you know, heavenly planet. Again, comparison. If we take the Lakshmis and the Vaikuntha Vasis in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha planets, the heavenly damsels, they look worse than cockroach. They are so beautiful. So it is, you just cannot imagine. If you start looking, you cannot just take your eye, you know, they are so beautiful. And then what to speak about Goloka, the highest spiritual world. You know, they are transcendentally beautiful. In Brahma Samhita, it is the last verse, it says, you know, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Dhruma Bhumish Chinta Mani Ganamayi Toyam Amrutam Katha Ganam Natyam Gamanam Api Vamshi Priya Sakhi Chidanandam Jyotih Paramapi Tadaswadyam Apicha Sayatra Kshirabdhi Stavati Surabhi Yashta Sumahan Nimeshar Dhakho Anahi Bhajati Yatra Api Samayah Bhajeshveta Dvipam Tamahamiha Goloka Midiyam Vidantaste Santakshiti Viralachara Katipaye. This whole verse is description of, you know, Vaikuntha planets, and, you know, the how there are Surabhi cows, abundant milk, and that too, you know, nectarian, you know. There are trees, not simple trees, wish-fulfilling trees. You go behind tree and you, even if you wish, I want a gulab jam, you'll get a gulab jam. They are like, well, they are just wish-fulfilling trees. They are Kamdhenu cows. You know the story of Jamadagni Rishi and Parshuram. He had there is this Kartavirya Arjuna. He comes, this particular king, he comes to this ashram of this Jamadagni Muni. So the sages, they had a great great honor for the king, and they were so gentle that they want to serve everyone. So they even wanted to serve king and his assembled soldiers and everyone. So he said, like, you know, please come for prasad, you know, just be here, you know, I'll serve you prasad, some prasad. And then this king said, you know, I am with thousands of soldiers. You are a, you know, normal, you know, sadhu saint living in a forest in a kutia. How you can serve? He said, don't worry, I'll arrange. And then he had a kamadhenu cow. He just went, he requested them that, you know, please, you know, provide for this. And there were delicacies, you know, coming out of that cow's body with big, you know, full plate, you know, 16-20 course meal for all thousands of soldiers. So we had that. So this Jamadagni Rishi had one cow in on this material. It was not even in the heaven or something. And in Krishna, you know how many cows Krishna have? Any guess? A lot, yeah, but a number? Exactly, yeah. 900,000. Krishna, number of cows Krishna has. 900,000 cows. That's only Krishna. His cowherd boyfriends, they have more. And all are Kamadhenu. Just imagine. You know, so that is beauty of spiritual world. The each particle is Chintamani, you know, jewel. And then there are, like, you know, there is no enemy. Like here it in the purport before, it says that the lions, they start roaring out of envy when they see that the denizens are, you know, enjoying another planet. In spiritual world, nobody envies anyone else. Such an relief, right? In the material world, whenever we try to do something good, you know, there are, like, you know, we know that some people, they just don't like, you know, somebody gets a nice, you know, nowadays, I don't know, whichever is the, whichever car is great, is that Ferrari, I know, whatever, like Rolls Royce, whatever, you know, you get, and somebody just, you know, envious, and he just throws a stone on it, you know, it's all mess, you know, right? And then somebody is living peacefully, some terrorist comes and, you know, puts some bomb in it for no good reason, just out of envy, because thinking I am, you know, my thought process is, you know, better than yours, and therefore I just want to you know, diminish you. That's all. So for no good reason things are happening, right? There's people are, you know, envious. In spiritual world there is no envy. Such an relief, right? And then another, and this normal beauty, like it is the last verse which we just recited from Brahma Sita, it is full of description, you know. All the talks, they are, like, you know, nice songs. It's not normal talk. And then all the walks, they are like dancing, you know. Then the cows are Kamadhenu cows. The trees are, you know, Kalpavruksha trees, wish-fulfilling trees. And everyone is happily, non-envyously serving Krishna. Who don't want to go to such place? So why to stuck in a place like Trikuta Mountain, wherein, you know, ultimately some crocodile is going to come when we'll try to enjoy. Like, even if crocodile is not there, we are, you know, peacefully enjoying in one cave. In another cave, somebody is roaring, you know, just because he's envious. Why to be in such place? You know? So just, you know, so it's said, like, you know, hit for a rhino whenever you are trying something. So just, you know, Prabhupada has given us the best. So even from material perspective, if somebody says, okay, Krishna service, devotion, we'll keep that, you know, for a moment aside, but this looks so beautiful. Spiritual beauty is simply outstanding than compared to any material beauty. Because ultimately, this is all temporary, and at the end, it is going to give us a problem. But the spiritual, it is Sachidananda. It is full of knowledge, full of bliss, and full of eternity. So if we follow the teachings given by Prabhupada, and if we follow the words of Mahajanas, then all the doubts will be clear and we'll be able to proceed to the spiritual world. But while going, we can do something more. Why not to share it? Right? Prabhupada, he was very happy in Vrindavan, writing books, doing his, you know, sadhana. He was in, actually, and of course, the Vrindavan on earth also, if we have spiritual vision, that is not different from spiritual world. But he came all the way, you know, on the cargo ship, you know, trying to, you know, despite of getting heart attack after so much struggle, and, you know, established this ISKCON, you know, printed these books. What was the need? You know, to please his spiritual master. Why his spiritual master asked him to do this? Because the devotees, for the Vaishnavas, they are paradukkaduki. When they see others suffering, they also feel that suffering. So we are fortunate that we got this gift. Why not to share? Whichever capacity we have, whatever we have, It may be just assisting those who are doing great things, or it may be just, you know, trying to distribute book, or, you know, helping in kitchen, whatever way we can. So why not to do that? So let us take this fortune and share it with, you know, to best of our capacity, and not lose it. First of all, not lose it, and then, you know, share it with. So to summarize, we saw that how these beautiful places in heavenly planets, they are true, but the problem with them is that they are also places of misery. Then we saw that how we can understand that. Prabhupada speaks about this, you know, kupa mandukane, how only with a limited perception we cannot understand, you know, multiple things. Then we saw that how the human life which we have got is very much precious, because in this life it's very easy to practice devotion, because there is neither too much enjoyment nor too much suffering. Hellish planet is too much suffering, you cannot, you know, sit and chant. And then heavenly planet, there is too much enjoyment, you cannot just, you know, concentrate on chanting. But human life, it is perfect, you know, enough suffering, enough you know, pleasure to keep us going, you know. When we are too tired, we get nice prasad, you know, and then we get some, you know, strength again to chant, we can dance. And but if we try to, you know, exploit material nature, then our teeth start paining, you know, or, you know, stomach start, you know, paining, whatever. So this is the human life is the perfect to practice devotional service, and the time in which we are there currently, that is the best, the best. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada has come. He has put the books everywhere. There are temples, association. So then we saw that how to do this, that by following, how to perfect our lives by following the words of authorities, Mahajanas. Prabhupada is, you know, nicely has already done, you know, everything for us. We have to just follow his schedule. And then we saw that how the spiritual beauty is much, much more compared to material beauty. And then we saw that how we can try our best to perfect our life, go back to spiritual world, but at the same time we can try to share our fortune with others, and make them also fortunate, as somebody else has made us fortunate, Prabhupada has made us, all of us, fortunate. So with that, I would like to stop. Any comments, questions at this point?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have many questions. Actually, I never considered that maybe the milk ocean would spoil. That's a new thought. I thought maybe it would be sweet, because the Mahaprasadam from the altar, the milk is always sweet, so I thought, oh, it must be very sweet and enjoyable. I was wondering, in relation to this, there's even the day before, there's this talk about there's these things that are very incomprehensible, while the devotees, when they'll read this, it's more inspires this feeling of awe and reverence, and like, oh wow, like how can I understand? And then, whereas another person will read it and they don't open Bhagavad Gita with a desire to understand or learn, but with a critical mind of should I or should I not kind of accept this. And along that lines, I was thinking, like in the Mahaprasadam prayer, it says, the Mahaprasadam Govinde, that part, it says that a person only has faith in Mahaprasadam if they've performed many pious activities in their previous life. And I actually have been struggling with that with a while. I think it kind of relates to this, in that how is it that, I mean, it would seem that Mahamantra and Mahaprasadam, like anyone should, it's like the mood of this movement, it's available to everyone, right? Yet how is it that at the same time some people don't have faith? And similarly, in a lecture the other day,
Is it second question?
Yes.
Can I answer this one first? Yes. Yeah, I'll try to share. Okay. So if I understand correctly, that Prasad, holy name, it is available to all. Why it says that, you know, those people who don't have enough pious credit, they don't have appreciation for that. So the sunlight, today is good day, right? Sun is out. It's available to all. I go in a basement. I close the door. There is no window in that basement. I close the door. I take a thick blanket and I sleep on a bed. And I shout from there, there is no sun. What that does mean? Sun is there. I myself, I am confining to a situation wherein I am not ready to accept. So same way, Mahaprasad, holy name, they are available for all. But people don't have faith. So practically, I have seen that whenever, what to speak of here, even in India, where it's pretty much obvious whenever there is prasad, everyone knows the concept of prasad and everything. But many times we give people the prasad, they don't accept it. They just say, no, I don't want to take it. The reason, they have blinded themselves from the mercy. Because of their so much, you know, sinful activities. That they are like, you know, so much antagonist about devotees and the way, they are plainly envious basically. Because of which they themselves are, you know, going and hiding in a basement. So I remember like devotees somewhere in US, they used to go for Harinam. One person used to, you know, throw tomatoes on them. You know, he used to so angry. Now these devotees used to, you know, distribute cookies. Forget about taking, he used to try to beat up them. But eventually, of course, like, you know, slowly, one day he took, and then later, you know, he converted into devotee. It was like, you know, long process. But for such people who are thoroughly envious and sinful, until some devotee breaks into their life, it's very hard for them. It's like until somebody goes in the basement, picks that person, and, you know, brings in, you know, see, here is sunlight, you know, be here now, you know, be warm. So till that time, it's very difficult. So same way, the place, even in our life, say, we many times had many doubts, but generally when we eat prasad or something, we don't get those doubts. Most of the doubts, they just go away, right? It's just, at least I have seen, you know, in my life, I have some very critical question, but I just come in front of deities, you know, take darshan, take some prasad, they just go away, you know. So, like, okay, there's one practical example of this. Once in Pune temple, one person came, and he met one brahmachari there, and very argumentative spirit. He said, "You say Krishna is supreme, you know. How can you say this, that, you know?" And then, so he was like, you know, really with, you know, all his logic argument ready to, you know, argue. So at the same time, this, you know, there was, you know, conch blown, you know, the darshan was about to open. So this devotee was very intelligent, you know, who was talking. So he said, "Did you hear the conch?" You know, he said, "Yes. Let us come, you know. We'll talk. We'll discuss about this. Let us come see what's going." So then he took him. And he said, "Are you coming for first time?" He said, "Yes." Then he showed him, "This is Prabhupada." Then the conch altar opened. Then he said, "You know, this we have Gauranitaya, Radha Kunjabihari." Then he explained everyone, like, there is Prabhupada, spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj, Shad Goswamis. He spoke each Goswami's name. And then he spoke, "Is there, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nitan Prabhu?" Then there is a Balaji temple adjacent. He went there. He said, "You know, this is Venkatesha Balaji." And then there was a Charanamrut. He said, "You know, please take this Charanamrut." And then there was a small sweet. He said, "Take this sweet." And then he said, "Now sit and let us see what is your question." You know what was his question? He said, "You chant this Hare Krishna. Why we chant and how can I chant?" You just see, between 10 minutes before, he had one question, and after 10 minutes, he had completely another question without even discussing why. Because he was getting this Sukrutis, you know, the on the way. And then, but if at the first point, if he had told, no, you first answer me, then only I'll enter, then he is barring himself from the Sukruti itself. So same way, if somebody takes with a little faith, that's why it said that all bhakti starts with, you know, adhoshraddha, with a little faith. Let me just give a try. So if somebody tries with that starts acting inside. So as such, there are no condition there. But to come to that point, if somebody is too sinful or too envious, he himself is barring him. Like somebody is, you know, going in a basement and saying that, you know, there's no sunlight, or, you know, barring themselves. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So your second comment, question.
How to ask it. Actually, the second question you answered well within that answer. So, I mean, my second question would have been, I guess to rephrase it in light of that, it's almost, you could give someone a rational argument about, you know, karma and like enjoyment is temporary and things, Or you could just say, you know, Krishna is blue and he has 900,000 cows and he plays the flute. And either way, they're going to be either ready to hear it or not.
Yeah, so basically, if I understand correctly, then if we come across such person, how to deal with it, right? So it's basically try to increase their sukruti in some way. So even if, so for example, some people may have doubt about, you know, Krishna or something, but they are very moral or something. So if they are, suppose you are carrying books, you can just say, even if you don't need help, you can say, can you please help me just to lift that box? Just by, if he does that, just by lifting that box, his Krishna consciousness has started. You know, Jayanand Prabhu, the amazing devotee, how he used to engage, you know, people, he used to make ratkat, and there was some, you know, bump dunkard person going on. He used to say, hey brother, you know, come here, can you, you know, hold this nail, you know, I want to hit it in the cart wheel. And he used to say, he used to hold and he used to hit. And then he used to say, such a fantastic way you have hold this nail, you know, I really appreciate you. And this person just used to become attracted and become devotee eventually. But if he goes and start, you know, no meditating, no drinking, no illicit sex, no intoxication, he will take a bottle and hit it on his head. So it's all like the way, the more we mature in Krishna consciousness, more ways we get. So the argument is the last thing we want to do basically, because we may conquer person's intelligence, but it is said, you know, person convinced against his will is of same opinion still. So there is, if the moment we see that somebody is going into argumentative mood, better to change the topic and bring it on the similar, like, you know, speak in such a way that, you know, they'll appreciate something. You just say, you know, wouldn't this t-shirt nice and nice, you know, Jagannath, something. So just by that one sentence, so he may not take to Krishna consciousness immediately. It may be after, say, 10 years. It may be after, you know, one life, two life. But it will surely start. It has started. You have started that fire. Let it go on. No? So it is said that somebody was, you know, breaking the, there was a big rock. And, you know, person said that, you know, you break it. And then he said, count, you know. And then this person was counting. And he said, when he put some 550th, you know, blow, the rock finally split. So the teacher asked the student, okay, on which stroke the rock broke? So he said 550. He said wrong. He said then which? He said first. He said the moment you started hammering, the process of breaking has already started. Only the apparent way to see it was after 550. So there was enough, like, so he keeps on getting sukruti, gets association. So same way, best way not to get into argument. Just do something, tell something the way they appreciate. If we just do that, their bhakti started. So.
Thank you, Prabhu, and thank you for your analogies. Very nice.
Yeah. Any other comment? Questions? Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.